listening to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Now, let's start the hour.
Hello, I'm Chris Ragland, and welcome to this week's episode of the Noble Capital Radio Hour, where we explore investment strategies for the modern financial landscape. With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Jaden Newman and Romney Navarro. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks, Chris. This is going to be fun again.
Yeah? Why is it going to be fun?
Well, because we're talking about something that I finally know something about. That's why.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, not always, huh?
No, I'm always kind of just sitting here third tier, just kind of watching you guys talk about things that you pretend to know things about.
Uh-huh.
And Jaden just starts hammering into. So
pretend to know. That's good. That's a good way.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know
what
you're
really
saying.
Words.
I know what you're really saying. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Well, you can learn more about who we are and what we're all about by listening to Romney. Or you can go to our website and check us out at noblecapital.com.
Yeah, you know what, guys? You could also text us. You could text the word SECURE to 313131. Get a lot more information on what we're up to and what we're doing, and specifically join us at some of our upcoming events. They take place all over the state of Texas, and we would love to host you.
Absolutely. So last week's show, one of the I don't know, cute little sayings or something that came out of Sean's segment, better than selling butterflies. That was great. I got a crack out of that. But even better, some of the ways we were kind of punning off of that. So that was pretty good. I don't know. It was a good episode. I enjoyed doing that last week. And I also enjoyed if you follow our social media, you'll see what I'm talking about. But our creative team is even incorporating some of these quotes and sayings from the show. And I showed it to someone the other day, and I was like, better than selling butterflies. Like, what does that even mean? I was like, well, you're just going to have to download the podcast to find out for yourself. So speaking of the podcast, we did maybe mention that, but you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, also Google Play, which is really cool.
Yeah, so we finally landed on Google Play. And then, of course, the big one.
Oh, yeah.
Stitcher.
I don't even know what that is.
Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know.
We advertise on NPR a little bit, and they're related. So,
oh, okay. Well,
sorry.
Hey. Yeah, so maybe that's
that
why we
like
used
a,
it.
That sounds like a dating site or something.
Swipe right.
I'm going to stitch together a great night. Yeah, so I don't know. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
I actually got called out for not knowing what Stitcher was. I was like, who knows what Stitcher is?
I don't know. It's like Periscope. No.
Or Tinder.
Or Tinder. I don't know what any of these things are.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. So last week we discussed basically house flipping mistakes, things that we've seen go wrong, why flipping a house comes with a lot of risk. And it's why we have gotten really comfortable playing in that space, though. So we're an alternative finance company. We specialize in three major areas, right? So we do retirement planning. We also specialize in private lending, which we'll get to. And then real estate investing in general. So private lending, what's that? It's a great vehicle where you can participate in real estate investing without having to be the guy on the street doing the flip and taking the majority of the risk. Instead, you can create reliable, consistent income at a really great secure basis. And that's kind of what we're all talking about in private lending and how that incorporates to really, really great wealth management and retirement strategies. And that's really what we're all about. And that's what we have Jaden talking about at these seminars that Romney mentioned.
Yeah, that's right on. And, you know, we get into a lot of things when we talk about retirement planning, but we particularly are proud that we set ourselves apart from the competition in the retirement planning field because we put a big emphasis on real estate. That's a big part of what we do.
You say it like in the first 30 seconds of the seminar.
We do.
And everybody's like, what is this?
I thought this was retirement. What are you talking about?
Well, we get into one of the first big decisions people are going to make when they get into the retirement planning mode is, are they going to bring an advisor alongside of them? And as we say, as their guide, to help them get through the retirement planning process, and not only retirement planning, but actually get through retirement all the way across the finish line. And we talk about the types of advisors that are out there. So a little tidbit from what we talk about here, a little teaser is, you know, there's really three types of advisors. You've got product salesmen that sell products. That's pretty much speaks for itself. Almost everybody's dealt with a product salesman. Hopefully you got a good product. You know, the chances are you haven't heard from them. They didn't give you a plan. You're not sure exactly how the product's working. That's a product salesman.
You don't even know what's coming in the mail anymore.
That's right.
You really know those, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, what is this again?
Know exactly what you're talking about. So
And then the second one would be a stockbroker. And this show's not about the stock market, but there's a, you know, there's plenty of evidence out there that, that would suggest that a stockbroker is not your ideal retirement financial advisor. They might be great on that part of the portfolio that's in the stock market. And we have great, you know, stock managers and money managers that we can refer our clients to. But that's not a retirement financial advisor.
Not at all. And so, in fact, we're talking about there's easier ways that you can actually create income plans inside of a solution, right? That's really what we're talking about. And we do that. One of the ways that we do that is by incorporating real estate investments. And that's what today's show is all about. Basically, an easier way to invest in real estate. So I think they're calling this one money that makes itself. So it's not quite a money tree, but it sure feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? When it's kicking off that interest every single month.
Oh, yeah. And not especially when you don't actually have to be, as you said a minute ago, the guy on the street doing all the hard work. That's a perfect segue into everybody's favorite segment.
Right.
My first by the way.
Oh, that was your first one?
You're welcome.
We'll get back to
that. So today's segment, Sean on the Street, we have not heard this, but we're actually going to listen to what people are thinking about out there when it comes to money that makes itself.
This is Sean on the Street, and today we're going to go out into the wide world. And we're going to find some people to talk to about putting their money to work.
Whenever you hear the phrase, put your money to work, what does that mean to you?
Put your money, use it for a purpose.
Use it for the purpose? To make money off of an investment, how much work does that require?
That should require good hard work.
Good hard work?
Yeah.
Can you give an example of like...
Well, you should be preparing, researching what you're investing in.
Know your business. That's the first rule, I think. When you hear the phrase, put your money to work for you, what does that mean to you?
I'm actually a real estate investor, so it's what I do.
You are? Okay. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. What kind of real estate do you invest in?
Residential rental properties.
Okay. So you're kind of a landlord.
Yeah.
In ways.
Yeah, for several people, yeah.
How much work is it?
Pretty easy. Actually.
It is?
Yeah, I mean, it's about finding the right tenants for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just kind of if they had any problems, you just try and fix those problems as fast as possible. But kind of sit there and then it just comes in.
Yeah. How many units do you have?
Right now I got three.
Three units?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Is that here in Austin?
No, they're throughout the states. So I got some in Florida, some up north, some in here in Texas.
Oh, wow. So I guess you could say that that's diversified in a way.
Yeah.
You must get those 1 a.m. phone calls saying your toilet's broken, right?
That has happened, yeah. With those, I mean, it's 1 in the morning. Like, I'll get to this as soon as I can in the morning, or I'll have someone there to take a look at it.
I can't fix it from Texas.
Right.
When you're in Florida.
Right, right. Right.
What is the worst thing, in your opinion, in just being a landlord in general?
Those surprise either vacancies or accidents where, like, oh, this repair has to happen now, like, or they've burned the kitchen down, but, you know.
Oh, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
What do you think of whenever you hear the phrase, make your money work for you?
A passive investment strategy to where you're putting it out there in something that is a higher risk area where you may be able to achieve, you know, significantly higher double-digit percentage gains.
Whenever you think about investing, how much work do you think people typically put into it?
I would say that it is actually a comparable amount of work to what you would do in any other profession. The couple of people that I know that are pretty much full-time investors, predominantly in the tech space, mm-hmm. spend a solid 40 hours a week reviewing companies that they're considering investing.
Okay, answer me this. What do you do for a living?
So I'm a software developer.
You're a software developer.
Yes.
How do you know so much about investing?
Most of the clients that we work with are actually in the real estate space.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and then also working in the startup space, having a lot of interactions with angel investors and VCs.
Okay. Will you be my financial advisor?
For better or worse, this has been Sean on the Street with the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Back to you, Chris.
Hey, you know, that might be one of the best little segmented interviews he's done so far.
I agree, man. That last guy was great. He kind of sounded like a male Siri.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm talking about?
He did sell you a computer. He's saying, what kind of business are you in? Well, actually, I am a software app.
And I'm a robot.
No, the guy had great feedback, though. He had really good feedback. So it sounded like we had three kind of different perspectives. You know, the first person was like, you know, just know your business. Number two, we had a real estate investor, which we'll probably dig into a little bit more here in a minute. And then number three was essentially knowing that, like, creating it. It was funny. He's talked about having a passive investment and what that meant to him. And then at the end of it, he was like, it's basically a full-time job.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, they got you.
He was great. I was surprised how much knowledge he had, but obviously he's in the space. So these are the guys I think we need to talk about here when we come back.
Yeah, definitely. And we can do that. The other part was funny was the guy said he has three rental properties. And he's like, well, I've got some in Florida and some up here. And so I was like, I thought you said three.
It would have been great if he would have dropped a fourth location.
Yeah, fourth location.
What?
All right. So stick around. We'll talk about what some means here in just a second. We'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
You're tuned in to the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
Hello again, this is Chris Ragland, your host of the Noble Capital Radio Hour. We just got to hear from Sean on the street, and he interviewed some interesting people that had some different perspectives on what passive investment means to them. If you're just joining us on the show, welcome. You know, we are Noble Capital, and we're talking about alternative investment strategies. We're a full-service financial firm that focuses on retirement planning, private lending, and real estate. So we tend to do a lot of shows that have a lot to do with real estate, and that's definitely what we're talking about today. Essentially, an easier way to invest in real estate. So we can come back maybe to the first person here in a second, but that second one really was like a bullseye hit for us in terms of an interview. You know, he was a rental property kind of landlord. And I can tell you right now, if he's got three properties and he's a landlord, that's not his full-time job. You know, that's something he's doing on the side. He's earning, you know, some pretty nice little, hopefully a coupon that he's getting a clip on that house and he's making a little bit extra cash. But, you know, he did start off by talking about how it was easy. But then he kind of does a full circle and talks about, you know, what I call a barn burner, you know, where literally the kitchen catches on fire and you have to do a remodel project. And he hinted on some other things too, like he has to worry about vacancy, tenant turnover, those types of things. It's look, the point is being a landlord tends to be a full-time job. It tends to take up a lot of time, but the rewards can be high as well.
That surprise vacancy, I think, is what he called it.
Yep.
That's a tough one, man.
Yep.
You don't know what's happening. And then come Friday, you get a phone call. It's like, nobody's here anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, surprise vacancy is a kind of a 1-2 punch because the one punch is see ya, cash flow. And usually when you get a surprise vacancy, you get the number two punch, which is, oh, by the way, we tore up your house or we left it in a bad place and we're going to completely skip town on you. Because if it's a surprise vacancy, unplanned, something bad happens.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, rule of thumb here, generally speaking,
that's a bad one.
It's going to be a bad condition on the property too. And now you're like, oh, great. And all I have was like a 1-month deposit. Is that enough to fix all of the damage? You know, and yes, that's offset though by long-term appreciation, you hope. If you bought right and you're in the right area and you're getting that. So there's some ways to combat that. But the point I'm stressing here is it can be a great strategy if you have the time, the knowledge, and the interest to do that.
Yeah, and the capacity too. So there's some, you need to be able to maintain these investments somehow, even if you're actually pushing them off to somebody else to be your manager. So many people, I don't know what the percentage is, but those people that are getting into the retirement age, generally speaking, have had some run-in with real estate investing. Some at some point, maybe they flipped from house to house to house to house. You know, those guys that live in a house for 3-4 years, move to another house for 3-4 years, or they've owned 2-3-4 rental properties, or they've just invested in a couple of deals. Generally speaking, people are investing in real estate. Specifically, though, the easiest way is through rental property.
Yeah, it's nice. And by the way, all three of us, right, have been rental. We've been landlords before, all of us. And it's funny because now we're all private lenders. That says something.
Yeah, this comes up you know, every time we have a meeting with a client that's got property, that's a landlord, we, you know, I was talking in the last segment about the types of advisors. The third type of advisor is a complete advisor or a holistic planner, meaning this is an advisor that's going to talk to you about anything you want to talk to that you bring to the table. Real estate comes up all the time at the table. And one of the things we're proud of is we can go deep with the client on that conversation. So the way we approach it, guys, is when a client comes in with rental properties, we want to actually grab the data, the performance data off of those rental properties. And we run an analysis for them and show them what kind of actual return they're making on their money.
I was going to ask you that, Jaden. How often do they come to you and they tell you like, oh, and this is my cap rate on my property portfolio that I've developed over the last 10 years, 20 years?
Very rarely do they have a pro forma or a spreadsheet that accurately reflects the true return on that property. And what we're looking at as an advisor is, you know, what if we sell the property? How much cash will we pull out of it that we could invest somewhere else and achieve a different return versus leaving that cash in the property? What kind of return is that creating for you? And a lot of people miss things like, you know, being conservative with vacancy and credit loss. Really, you should only count on 11 months of income, not 12 months of income.
Right. And have they stepped up their income or their, you know, the fees, essentially what they're charging with, you know, cost of living changes, with inflation? I've seen that too. I've seen a landlord who has the same rental rate. I'm not kidding you. This isn't an exaggeration. Who hasn't changed the rental price in a decade. Like, wow. 10 years right. went by. And you know what his fans said to me? But they're great tenants.
Exactly, because they like time. The tenant.
I think you're a great landlord,
they're great
sir.
Guys. Oh, I'm like, please, can you be – I'm selling my house. Can I come rent from you and give me fixed rents for the next 10 years?
That's right. I mean, the grocery store is not going to keep the price of milk flat for you. So, no. You know, your money's eroding there with inflation. So there's other things too. People don't understand – one of the big fallacies I see is like, well, I only bought the property for $100,000, so I'm making a great return on my money. I bought it 20 years ago, so and they're calculating their return on what they paid 20 years ago instead of how much money they could pull from the table if they sold it and invest somewhere else.
That's super common. So, I see that too.
Basic
every time.
Concepts here that we help people with, and to be honest, guys, when we break down a couple properties, usually there's one good one. There's one kind of mediocre, and then there's one that's a dog that probably should be sold and repositioned because it's just not a good rental property.
Yeah.
And we show them where we can generate more cash flow from that investment
and
for them.
You're talking about numbers, which is great. We're probably very comfortable there, but there's this whole other soft aspect of it too. Like, how much is it worth not to get a phone call in the middle of the night at 1 a.m., like our guy here said, that your toilet stopped up?
Well, Chris, I insist, if they're my client, I insist that unless they love those leaky toilet calls or just managing those properties, which some clients do, they have to build in the cost of management into this and in an aggressive price for management, because truly passive income means that you're just getting a check in the mail and somebody else is handling every aspect of leasing and management. So we don't have any problem with our clients having some rental property. We think it's great. It's what we do. But when we compare it to what we do, which we'll be getting into here in this segment and the next, private lending, we are to private lending as a manager what a good property manager is to a landlord. And there's a lot of parallels there. The difference is the risk level that you're taking when you're going out, like this gentleman says, well, it's easy. This is so easy. You just go buy these properties and you just respond when people need things. And that's really not a fair picture in terms of being a landlord. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, and especially market forces. You know, when you're, you know, when you're a landlord.
That guy, by the way, that sounds like a landlord post 2010.
Yeah, you know what? Let's not just totally dog rental properties.
No, there's a place for it. If it works, it's a great spot. Hey, if you can stress it with management fees, after taxes, after insurance, after vacancy, after maintenance, and you're still making a great cap rate, buddy, hang on to that property.
But again, I think the other part is, you know, when you're buying it earlier on in life, there's a place for the appreciation, right? I mean, you call it the accumulation phase.
Absolutely.
And then somewhere in midlife, right? There's also a play there, but then that starts really depending on your basis and your cost and your this and your that. And then later on in life, that's when it's like, you really have to start questioning, what is this thing? Is it an income machine? or is it an asset on the balance sheet that I'm going to pass on to the next generation, or do I need cash? I mean, that's the thing. Real estate is great. It just kind of comes in different forms.
Look, it's a vehicle, and it has a place, and it has a timeline, a place on your timeline, on your life. You know, so, and sometimes it's appropriate to fall at different places. And that's the whole point in terms of when we're doing retirement advisory, we're really giving you a complete picture and letting you understand, hey, here's an asset that we can make, we can take advantage of in a much more efficient way.
And turn into income.
That's really what I'm hinting at, right? Because timing's important too. You know, you can't just sell property that you picked up last year and be efficient with that from a tax standpoint. There's things you need to think about.
Yeah, Chris, I'll tell you real quick before we go to the break. You know, we have clients come in and we run that analysis and show them, sir, did you know you're making a 2.2% return on this property?
It's like, ooh.
And they had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea they're only making two. I mean, it's better than having the money in the bank, but they're literally only making 2% on their money. And that means that's probably not a good rental property.
Yeah, if it's there's no real number where you say for sure, yes or no. Like for me personally, if everything's stressing it out in the Texas market and I can still eke out a 5% or 6% cap rate, I'm going to consider keeping it. Anything above that, I'm going to start strongly considering it, right? So you just have to have a decision, and that's ultimately why you need to be talking about it with advisors. So when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of true passive investing. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Ragland. This is the Noble Capital Radio Hour. If you're interested in the topics we're discussing today, again, we are an institution that focuses on retirement planning, private lending, and real estate. Today, we're really talking about that gray line in between real estate and private lending. But if you want to know more, you can find us at noblecapital.com.
Yeah, guys, you could also just go ahead and text us. You could text the word secure to 313131, and you could sign up for one of our upcoming events here in Austin and in Dallas. This is coming up on Tuesday, May 8th in Austin and Tuesday, May 15th in Dallas. Text the word secure to 313131. We would love to see you there.
There you go. That's how you do it. That's how you get in touch with us. Send us a text message. Again, one word, secure, to 313131.
We also have social media.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
Come check us out. We've got a picture of Jaden every single week. And a picture of you too, Chris.
Oh,
and a picture of me. But it's we've been playing this game at on the fourth segment of the show, and we will get there in a little bit, but we're trying to capture our little quotes. And you could always see what Jaden's game-winning quote is.
Every time.
Every week. So yeah, come and check us out. It's fun, and we love to engage there.
That is good. It's really great. Romney's is generally lame. mine is boring, and Jaden's is pretty good. Man, what was the one last week? It was, all I can tell you, was about a food item.
Enchiladas.
It was about enchiladas.
Yeah, you killed us with that one, man. I was prepping. I had 2 weeks of, you know, thought.
I think
went
it
into
was
mine.
No income plan, no enchiladas.
It's funny, if there was a radio visual, it would be us using our fingers to count the words.
We always count the words because we're complete idiots, apparently. We can't do that in our head. Oh, man, that's great. All right, so if you're just joining us, we're not an enchilada show.
Nope.
But we are an alternative finance show, and we do a couple of challenges and some fun stuff with each other. But we're really talking about an asset class from an investment standpoint, real estate. And I know there's a lot of real estate shows out there. And believe me, all three of us in this room, we're real estate investors. All of us have had a time in our lives when it made sense in our portfolio. But ultimately, the clientele that we're working with, we're talking about people who are looking for an alternative investment slice inside of their retirement portfolio and their income strategy, which generally speaking is our target market. And we're saying, look, there might be a better way for you. So we're going to talk a little bit about that on this segment. And we are talking about private lending. We're talking about how you can participate in real estate investing, but you can do it in a way that you may have never done before. You can actually be the bank. How interesting is that? You can be the bank. You know, banks don't take enormous amounts of risk. They give people loans so that those individuals can take the risk and reap the return if they knock it out of the park. But the bank always gets what? Steady income. You make those payments every single month. Well, we've devised a way and a strategy where you can be a private lender with us. We'll be right there with you. You can be passive and we'll put you in a fund. And we're going to talk about this and break this down here in a minute. And you can earn consistent returns. We're talking like 8% on your money on an annualized basis, completely secured by real estate. That's a really, really interesting way to think about this.
Yep.
And at a low basis too. So you're not in it at a dollar for dollar of the investment like you would be, say, in the stock market when you're buying at market price. You're literally making a loan on something at maybe at most 70 cents on the dollar. Really, really great vehicle.
That's a big differentiator, Chris. A lot of people ask, so when they start hearing about us, they say, well, are you guys a REIT? And I think you make fun of Grady at this point. And because how does he pronounce REIT?
REIT.
REIT.
I don't know.
Spell that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a, I don't know if that's a South Southern thing. Or...
Hey, isn't he going to be on the show with us again like in a week or two? I think we actually have Grady coming as a guest star. So we'll be sure and bring up REITs again.
So a REIT, for those of you that don't know, is a real estate investment trust. And I can see why we're asked this all the time, because essentially this is a fund that goes out and invests in real estate. But the big differentiator you were just hitting on is most REITs, in fact, I'd say 95% of them do not lend on real estate. They actually own real estate. So they are indeed paying dollar for dollar.
They are.
On market value.
And they're speculating. They're saying we can go out and develop this property arguably better than most people can and realize a return through that development. They are essentially the invested, like the ground floor guy.
They're the guys that we lend money to.
That's essentially what it is. Yeah. So, and actually, you know what? REITs do take out loans and they come to people like
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. I would even say one more thing about the difference between not so much a REIT and what we do, but lending versus owning. I mean, the REITs are the ones that are operating the business, the ones that are in the weeds trying to get things done. The day the pool is green, who cleans it up? The owner or the bank? It's always the owner, right? Yes, they reap all the rewards and they also and benefits, but they also get crushed when things go wrong. The bank is slow and steady. So I don't know. I love the I've always loved the place of being the lender, but I could see why the confusion with REITs, especially since we act at a so differently at that financial institutional level.
Yeah, exactly. But
and a REIT is also passive. That's why we get compared to that a lot. We're basically saying, look, you're going to put your money in a fund and the fund is going to go do the work. The difference is the REIT fund goes out and develops property and also, by the way, goes and gets loans and things. Our fund is actually the one that lends money to developers that are going out and flipping houses. Like the stuff you see on television, it's not exactly how it works, but we actually give those guys, and I literally mean those guys, we give them loans. A lot of times when they're flipping these houses and you see these budgets, they're coming to someone like us and saying, I need a loan to go purchase and improve this property.
One of our clients, actually, speaking of which, so you guys that are listening probably know this, but we have our annual or biannual state of the company meeting every 6 months. We've got our next one coming up in July. It's going to be in Austin. And we're actually working with one of our clients who is on TV to try to bring them to the event so that you guys could meet and greet with, you know, these celebrities on HGTV that are flipping houses all over the state of Texas.
Yeah. And you mentioned it's in Austin, but we simulcast it and we have a facility in Dallas as well. So for our listeners that are in the Dallas market, which we know there's a lot of you guys out there, we also have a space in Dallas that you can come to and you can hang out and meet with our staff and so forth, but you'll see the entire presentation there. But yeah, we generally hold it in Austin, which is where our headquarters is.
Yeah. I think it's just neat that they get to kind of touch and feel and see how these people are in their own kind of natural habitat. Cause these guys are real people doing real things and winning constantly. So I'd love to put that in front of our clients, of our, you know, our friends and just our listeners. Anybody who's listening, I want you guys to see what we're all about.
Good. So how do you find out how you can come to that event?
Simple. I always tell people to text us. It's the easiest way to do it. Text the word secure, SECURE, to 313131. Text us and that'll be the quickest way to connect.
Yeah. I mean, are you interested in learning how to have a passive investment, a true one, not like the guy, I think it was the third gentleman that was interviewed on Shot on the Street. And he was like, yeah, it's great. I've got a passive investment. And then by the time they finished the interview with him, he's like, it's basically a full-time job. I was like, that's not a passive investment, but we're talking about a passive investment where you're investing in a fund, you're getting diversification with all the other people that are inside of that fund, and you're getting diversification because it goes out and does a large number of deals. All of your money or all of your eggs, they're not in one basket, right? And then the best part about it is it gets predictable income. So what does predictable income allow us to do?
Well, We like the predictable income when we're putting the retirement plans together, because now we can build that in as one of those income sources that's going to actually provide income we're going to live off of. And the thing that's so cool about private lending for our retirees, our investors, is that this is one of those investments where it's, I can put my principal to work, secure it, and then just live off the interest, skim the interest. Most clients take that interest and actually live off of it. Some let it grow and defer, and the fund gives you the ability to do that. But retirement's all about income, and I don't want all my income coming from, you know, things like the stock market or my savings or CDs at the bank. I've got to find some alternatives that I believe in and that I can get behind. And Texas real estate is a great story. Texas residential real estate's even better. And lending at 70 cents on the dollar on Texas residential real estate? You got to be kidding me. How do I join this club?
Yeah, you're about to be quoted, because you just gave a quote to the guys, some magazine out of New York. I'm talking to Chris, by the way, guys. I'm pointing and doing all that
stuff.
Yeah,
pointing works really well over the radio.
Yes.
You're not on film. You're not on TV.
Action.
This isn't Howard Stern. No one's watching on TV.
Not at all. Or listening.
Thankfully.
So, no, you were just quoted by some group out of New York.
Oh, that's good.
About the state of the Texas real estate economy, how it's still strong and it's still making national news. I think that's awesome. I'm actually kind of curious, man. So, for you that are listening out there, Chris Ragland and myself, this is Romney, we don't meet with clients from an advisor role. Jaden's been doing it for over 10 years, and our staff has been doing it for going on 50.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jess. Sorry, Wayne. They've been doing it forever.
Maybe longer.
Yeah. So long story short, when you start setting up income streams, I'm curious, like, how many income streams is too many? Or is that even a thing?
Well, I think I'll look this up for next show, but there's actually a proverb about this. And it's something about seven streams of income flowing into the river is what a wise man will set up for themselves. So we need to look that up and follow up on it, or that'll be my five words. And by the way, I think you're right. The reason it's five is we only have five fingers, so that's all they gave us, right? They know we can count to five. So, but I would say a minimum of seven if you want to be conservative. Some people want to see even more than that, but it's not just how many, it's where they're coming from. Not all income is equal. So when we build out our income plans, we're starting with the ultra safe, guaranteed, predictable, and then working our way over to stuff that's more risky, for maybe a higher return, but it needs to be very well balanced. Just like any portfolio, your income plan needs to be balanced too and risk adjusted.
Yeah. I always wonder about when you're done with a lot of these case designs, if you will, what is that case where you set up even more? I mean, has there ever been a case where you're setting up 11 streams?
Would you call it a blueprint?
There you go. It is. That's what we call it, ladies and gentlemen, the retirement blueprint. Come and get your own, right? But no, seriously, I mean, have you ever set up a retirement blueprint with a dozen income streams?
We have from time to time. You know, it could be a client. We were just talking about rental properties. We've had clients come in that have 5, 10, 15 rental houses. You could look at that all as one aggregate income stream, or we can break those down line by line. But typically, you're going to see folks that come in right around that 6, 7 up to, say, about 10 income streams for a safe, conservative retirement approach. And obviously, for the listeners, the reason we want to have multiple income streams is if something goes wrong with one or two of them, it doesn't completely take you down. We're not going to put you in a pickle and foolishly be putting all of our eggs in one basket.
Talking about when things go wrong, you know, I love real estate. It's like what I've been about most of my professional life in one way or another. And, you know, things go wrong in real estate too. And that's one of the advantages of being an investor in a debt fund where you're lending money, is you've got insulation. You know, so I'm not going to be able to dive down into all of these, but you've got diversification inside of the fund. You have diversification inside of the assets. And then you have other things too, like our strategy has baked in asset management. What does that mean? It means that every single time a deal goes wrong, we work the deal out. It doesn't just fail. We don't just sell it for pennies on the dollar. We have a workout strategy.
We foreclose and work it out.
And we do. The entire process, we handle that. Furthermore, that's why we focus on residential real estate. Residential real estate is one of the easiest asset classes in real estate to reposition and to make it an income earning asset. And that's because we all need a place to live.
Yeah, I will say another thing about the entire strategy. It's not the headache, guys. It's not the headache part of the real estate investing game that you hear about. I'm not, you know, crapping on real estate. It's great. That's what we live and breathe this stuff. But the hard work is off the table. You are making investments. You are not operating businesses. We make investments and we operate a business, of course, but the business is not quote unquote real estate. So it has a lot of the flair and very little bit of the risk.
Yeah, I like that. So, all right, if you want to learn more about what we do, and particularly what we're talking about here, you can find us at noblecapital.com. We also talked about sending us a text. Just shoot us a text message. Send one word, secure, to 313131, and you can start learning more about us and our business. When we get back, everyone's favorite segment, Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, where we can see how Romney comes up with the lamest quote ever. We'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
Once again, this is the Noble Capital Radio Hour.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Ragland, and this is the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Hopefully you're not just tuning in and you missed all of my digs at Romney on the previous episode or the previous segments. But speaking of previous episodes, if you would like, you can download them. There's a number of ways to do this now. And this is really exciting. I was able to even show like my grandma, she can listen to me on this. You can download our episodes on iTunes. You can download it on Google Play, even some other platforms whose names I can't remember. But you can also download them at our website at noblecapital.com. So if you're not sure how to do that on your phone, you can just go to the website and you can actually download the episode right there.
You're talking to me?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're trying to bring this back.
You dog me and then you want me to give you some feedback?
Hey, you know what, buddy?
Dude, yes, guys, text us. Text the word secure. SECURE, one word, secure, to 313131. If nothing else, join us at an upcoming dinner. It's a retirement blueprint dinner. We host them all over the state of Texas, specifically Austin and Dallas right now. And we've got a couple coming up in May. We would love to host you. That's our favorite place to meet and greet.
Yeah, and it's a really cool just to get to know you kind of event. So we buy you dinner. Honestly, what we're trying to accomplish here is, do you like us and do we like you? And can we work together? Because we've got some really cool tools, some really useful tools. But most importantly, we have a really comprehensive, well-thought-out solution. And that's what's important. That's what Jaden's talking about from a complete advisor standpoint. If people are talking to you or you're just thinking, I've got this thing over here and this thing and a couple of products and a mountain of money, that's great. But you have to look at a holistic, complete decision. And that's really what we're all about. And we're not just going to talk about the things that are traditional. We're going to talk about things that are a little bit different, and that's real estate. And that's why several of our episodes where we're here on the radio or doing our podcast, you're hearing us talk about private lending and real estate, because there's alternative strategies that need to be incorporated.
Yeah, and I guess we do always talk about it, but haven't talked about it a lot today. But the retirement blueprint, that's really the thing we want to give you. When you come to one of these retirement blueprint dinners, we're trying to give you a blueprint to retire, how you're going to set up your income streams for life, your seven income streams, or whatever it may be that suits you. But we do want to give you a gift, and that gift is the ability to know how you can start dropping your income streams from wherever you're at now to the day you die.
That's right. And one of the things, Chris, you were going through a lot of the features of private lending and why it's so attractive when you go in the fund model. One of the things that we could hit on for just a moment here is liquidity. People think real estate's not liquid. And that's one of the things, I don't want to lock my money up long term in real estate. I need access to my money. And of course, we do expansive planning and analysis around liquidity to make sure our clients always have enough liquid assets when they need them. But one of the features I love about the fund is it's so short term. From a real estate standpoint, I mean, we're only talking about locking their money up for what, 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years at most. So like there's a 2-year lockup in the larger vehicle that we have, right, our signature fund. But we also have some solutions that allow you to do it as short as a year. So, but anywhere between 1 and a 2-year lockup, you're going to have the ability to be flexible with this that you would not typically have in real estate. When you're purchasing real estate and looking at it from a long-term investment standpoint, you can't make a lot of those quick pivoted decisions. And quick is a relative term. I'm talking about a 1 to 2 year plan. Like a major event happens in your life and you need to reposition yourself. You can be stuck with assets on your balance sheet, particularly in some other asset classes. If you're buying land, for example, we've talked about this, you know, for a while, you may be stuck with land for a generation in your family. You know, that you want to talk about long-term planning. You better do that right. But that's why we like the residential asset class, is because we can pivot relatively quickly. We can repurpose it to do something that's going to be income generating, even during a recession. A lot of really positive aspects on residential real estate and how we go about being private lenders.
That's great. Clients love the fact they can get in on the Texas residential real estate market short term, talking 2 years or less, and a very fair return. I don't think anyone's even mentioned what we're returning right now.
Yeah. But,
I mean, this is worth a shout out to the audience, because I know that people are listening and they want to get involved. So tell them how they can get involved and what they can make.
Well, the fund's been paying a little bit over 8.25% for the last year and a half. Prior to that, we were doing a slightly different type of investment, which was also yielding similar returns. We've just kind of grown it to scale here recently so that we could make it available to just about anybody who can qualify, and just about anybody who could qualify as an accredited investor. We go over all those details when we start talking about these things. But the best way to do it, guys, is just to come through the Retirement Blueprint seminars. We're going to talk about how to set you up as a you know, client, as a guest of the house, and how we can maybe set you up for retirement, giving you the tools of the Retirement Blueprint.
All right. Yeah. I like it. Well, gentlemen, let's tell them how they can put their money where their mouth is. Who's going first?
I'll take it. Of course. So I did cheat. As Jaden was talking, I kind of tuned out, and then you talked and I definitely tuned out.
Yeah, definitely when I talked, you tuned out.
So
yeah.
I definitely tuned out. Then I started thinking, and so I'm going right back to whatever it was the first thing I thought about. So here it is. Here's what I think about private lending. And in short, 5 words, I'll call it the missing link in retirement.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, they're all always pretty good.
No. Oh. All right. Well, here, I'll deliver mine, because whatever Jaden has is going to be better than ours. That's just the way it goes in here. So mine, again, topical, like Romney's. Yours was more, that's usually like kind of mine. Real boring, but yeah. On point, but boring. So mine is, there is a better way. And I mean, honestly, look, there's a better way. You don't have to. Yeah, I see these guys counting on their fingers. That's 5 words. I counted. That's it. You don't have to be involved in day-to-day management operations of real estate. There is a better way, and that's private lending.
Yeah, well, I agree. I agree. We wouldn't have done what we've been doing for so long if we didn't think so, huh?
That's so true. I mean, look, the three of us are no longer landlords. We're private lenders. That's a lot to say. I mean, three guys that collectively have, you know, 60 years of experience in real estate have decided, I'm going to be a private lender.
You know, and it's funny. One thing that we don't talk about too much is our client involvement. And this kind of fun that we're having on the air right now is just kind of the tip of the iceberg. Our clients have a great time with the stuff too. So
yeah,
when they become private lenders,
it's fun.
Like a game changer.
It's kind of like a family. Yeah. All right, Jaden, hit us hard.
All right, I got one for you. You ready? Just thought of it last 5 seconds, by the way.
Sure.
So here it is. Passive income equals predictable retirement.
All right.
Yeah, he used that equal sign again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I was going to say, he used exactly the same thing.
That's a good trick.
No, that was great. Well, okay, but aside from the it was dead on.
Yeah, aside from that, it's very true. No
You're
kidding.
You're just surprised. Yours was almost as good as mine this week.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Should we start taking a vote online?
Ooh, that's pretty good. That's good. We could do a little survey thing.
And it's totally blind.
Totally blind survey. All right, this was a fun show. Obviously, we're talking about our core, you know, and where we kind of came from, what we do. That's being private lending experts. But we're really excited about how we've been able to incorporate this into a broad plan, a real full service solution to a lot of our clients. I mean, we've got literally at this point hundreds of people in the state of Texas participating with us as private lenders. How cool is that?
Yeah. And every one of those people, for all intents and purposes, has an income plan for life.
Man.
It's a beautiful thing.
Making some action right there. Multi-generational action. That's pretty cool. All right, next week, on next week's episode, we're going to talk about investment, portfolio, and risk management. Boy, that's a nail-biter.
I'm going to use those five words next week.
You can't use the title of the show as your five-word or less seminar. Okay, I don't know. I think that we're talking about how to mitigate risk and ways that we go about doing that in our strategy.
Keep your money safe, yep.
Yeah, all right. This has been great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Chris.
I'm Romney.
And I'm Jaden.
And you've been listening to the Noble Capital Radio Hour.